Okay, Chevra. Tonight's Gemara that we have is, I think Atara commented that, like, she's happy that we're done with the Agadata. Basically, we have, like, six or so lines of Agadata, and then we get back into Halachic Gemara.
Yeah,
This is like four lines before the lines get wide. Amar Rav Chisda's Nusa Bevesa Kikarya Lishimshima. What does that mean? Is Nusa Bevesa, if there is adultery in the home, Kikarya Lishimshima. What's Karya Lishimshima? It's like some sort of worm that what?
In your sesame seeds? In the seed?
It's like sesame? Yeah, it's like worm in the sesame seeds. Basically, I think what the worm does is it eats out the stuff in the middle and it leaves just an empty shell. I think the idea over here is that when there's nus in the home, so whatever the tochen, whatever the content, whatever the real substance of the marriage was, so that is eaten away, and all that remains is like an empty shell of the marriage. I think that's the meaning of Karya Lishumshima, that these sesame seeds are eaten through the inside and the shell remains. Same idea, Rav Chisda, Tukva Bebesa, Kikarya Lishumshima. Tukva is what? Anger. Anger also destroys the home. Zakti Gemara idi bidi b'itza ava begavra leslan ba. This is true only about the woman, not about the man. Ad kan divrei ha-gemara. I have to admit, I don't really understand why the Gemara is saying this is only true about the woman, not about the man. Not so long ago, I sat on a din Torah. It was what we call a get timing hearing. The basic story was the man, who was somewhat well known in the community, had a habit of frequenting prostitutes. His wife found out when she saw the credit card bills and whatever. It kind of destroyed the marriage. So I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara is saying that Znusa Bevesa is only relevant for the wife, not for the husband. I don't fully get it. Aber das steht, right? That's what it says in the Gemara. How is it that destroys the home? How is it that the anger destroys the home? How is it that the znus destroys the home? Come, Chevre, what does the Maharsha say? What does the Me'iri say? The Me'iri is a Marxist. No? The Me'iri says, Ms. Engel?
Then you'll lose your property,
right? That basically, because of the Zanus, so you'll have to spend a lot of money to cover up, and you'll spend money on the Zanus, etc. So you'll lose the property. And the anger, how does the anger destroy property?
Your wife's not going to want to watch it for you?
Exactly. Right? That's, the money will get, it won't be watched, it'll just get destroyed. That is the comment of the Me'iri. How does the Maharsha learn?
The Shekhinah
will go away, right? The Maharsha is taking like a very spiritual approach over here. The Ish V'Isha is supposed to be the Yud and the K. That's a Gemara later on, I think, on Daf Yud Zayin. It's also a statement of Rav Chisda. So destruction of the home means, destruction of the home means that the Shekhinah will no longer be present. Al Yedei the Zenus and Al Yedei the anger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mesalek himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mesalek himself, and the home will be, like we said before, an empty shell.
But is it that the Maharsha is being more spiritual, or he's reading the Gemara as one continuous thing as opposed to two separate comments?
Again, I think the I think the Meiri also has like a common theme in the Gemara, that they're both talking, you're saying that the next Gemara.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be, but no matter what, this part of the Gemara, the Meiri is reading in a non-spiritual way, and the Maharsha is reading it spiritually. According to the Meiri, what's the connection between the lines before the wide lines and after the wide lines? I'm not sure. But okay, don't know. Weiter. Amrav Chista, betchila kodem shechatu Yisrael haisa shkina shora im ko echod ve echod. Shenema ki Hashem alokecha mishalaych bekerev machanecha. Kevon shechatu nistalka shkina mehem shenema v'lo yirebucha ervas dovar v'shov me'acharecha. The Netziv comments that the word chet, the stam word chet in Shas, means a sexual sin. And therefore what the Gemara means is that Kaidam Shechatu Yisrael, before Klal Yisrael did a sin, right, Rashi comments Ba'arayos, but the Netziv is just adding a dimension that throughout Shas, when you see the word chet, it means Arayos. So before Klal Yisrael sins Ba'arayos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with every individual. After Klal Yisrael sinned, so the Shechina leaves them. Shenem avlo yerebucha ervas dover v'shov me'acharecha. Once there's ervas dover that's present, so v'shov me'acharecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu will leave you. Okay, beautiful Gemara. Why is it Davka Arayis that causes Histalkus Hashchina? Why of all Averos is it only Arayos? So again, it probably has something to do with what the Maharsha said before about the Yud and the Kei connecting, that the family relationship is creating a source for the Ribono Shel Olam to be in the world. And therefore, when that breaks apart, Ayidei Arayos, so Memela Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves. That's probably what the Gemara means. Again, the Meiri over here gives us his philosophy. Who wants to tell me the Meiri's philosophy? I need someone from my right. Someone from my right. This side. Anyone? You're more in the center. Like, someone from the right. Anybody? How does the Meiri understand this Gemara? The Gemara basically says that before a chet of Arayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present with the individual. After the chet of Arayis, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer connected with the individual. So the Meiri comments. Okay, you're smiling, that's good. Right, the Meiri comments. Maybe someone on my left. Atara, how are you?
Good. The leaves you up to chance.
Right. But more specifically, you ever heard this expression like that people throw around called Hashgacha Pratis? Hashgacha Pratis probably means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every individual as an individual. The Meiri says that Hashgacha Pratis comes about when a person is on a certain spiritual level. There's a degree of onesh that sets in when the person lowers himself or herself. So onesh sets in, and that onesh sets in that Kadosh Baruch Hu no longer is judging you as an individual. Rather, you're just part of the larger picture of Klal Yisrael. There's a certain degree of chesed, I would say, that comes about the fact that you're looked at individually. The chet of Arayos takes away what the Meiri would call Hashgacha Pratis, and instead, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. If you say that God doesn't care, we call you a very nice term called Kofer. you are denying God. Kol Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatron, if you say God doesn't care, that's not true. That's not my religion, no? God cares. The only thing is that sometimes God will care about me in the individual sense. Sometimes God will care about me only in the collective sense. And once the chait of Arayis sets in, so then Memela, the individual Hashgacha, moves away. I think that's the way the Me'iri says it. This Me'iri is the same thing that we spoke about in terms of Emezav Ginlola Adam Ela Lefimasov. Well, we had that whole conversation. I'm trying. We had that whole conversation about what's it called? We had the conversation about the role of Mazel in Shidduchim, etc. And the Me'iri develops the same idea that when a person sins, so the person no longer, the person's as it were, I think you use that nosach, left to chance. Right? In other words, the concept of Mazel means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges not based on the individual, what he or she did, but rather just general principles in the stars, constellations, whatever it is. Good?
But isn't it better, if you're a sinner, isn't it worse if God judges you on an individual basis?
So I was thinking about that. I'm not sure. Because I think when God looks at me individually, God looks at the totality of who I am. Where I came from, where I'm going, everything falls into that place. As opposed to when God judges everyone together, it's like a snapshot. Being judged as an individual means that we're taking the past and the future into account as well. That's the way I understand it. I might be totally off base, but that's the way I understand it. Good chavra. Next, can I ask someone to read just so I could get this throat lozenge going? Sophia, you were designated reader last week. Do you want to hand off the position to someone else, or do you want to continue? That's very kind of you.
Where shall I start off from?
Third blood line. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Okay, so tell me, Rashi Prakam, what does this mean?
If you do a mitzvah, then it's going to lead you to the next world. You're not there, it's
you do a mitzvah, so mikadmato v'holechet lefanav l'olam haba. What does that mean? This is Mamish and Uncle Moshe's song, ladies. Every mitzvah that you do creates a malach. And that malach goes in front of you. Didn't you hear this like a nursery? Was I the only one? No? I mean, and that's why if you do a mitzvah proper kavana, so the mitzvah is going to be a wonderful, healthy malach. And you do a mitzvah without proper kavana, it's going to be like a lame malach. So if you daven, but you come late to davening, and like you're dragging your feet. You never heard this?
Yeah, well, what are the lyrics?
I
don't
know the lyrics.
Not in high school. Like
in
high school,
I'm
like inspirational speeches or like.
Yeah, I've heard like you say a main.
Yeah,
maybe.
No,
I heard
about like the mitzvah because there's a whole idea
also that like specifically like the chay of lashon hara, then like the malach has a mouth. So the malach can then be the prosecutor.
Wait,
the malach is like a big Pac-Man. Again, I do not know of any source in traditional Judaism as to what the malach looks like and all these details, but this Gemara does say that when an individual does a mitzvah, so that mitzvah goes into Olam Haba in front of you. Mikad matov v'holechet lefanav l'olam haba. The mitzvah precedes you into Olam Haba. Shenema v'holach l'fanecha tzidkecha. Your tzedakah goes in front of you. Nitziv kamen, stam mitzvah in shas. Remember, stam aveira in shas is arayas. Stam mitzvah in shas, not Talmud Torah. Think about Tuesday night Mussar.
Chesed.
Nitziv comments that the stam mitzvah in shas is if you do chesed, tzedakah, etc. So that will go in front of you into Olam Haba. I told you this, my father's Rebbe was this Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was the chief rabbi of Montreal. The man was by far the biggest Talmud Chacham I've ever been exposed to. Again, could be as big as Chacham Ovadia. Like, Rav Hirschsprung is a Jew who seriously knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. I heard him say once that he was driving from Montreal to Toronto with like some driver who he felt was boring, had a personality, and he didn't know what to do, so he decided to review all the Maharshon Baba Basra by heart. This is a different type of knowledge. He was the Bochein for Chachmei Lublin before the war. Rav Hirschsprung, he told me, by the way, I don't know if this was like a compliment or an insult, but I used to go to him once a year for a bechina when I was in high school. So he told me, you know, you're okay, but you would never get into Chachmei Lublin. Like, okay, thank you very much. You had to know 400 Daf Gemara by heart to get into Chachmei Lublin. And he went around Europe giving bechinas to the guys. So Rav Hirschsprung, no Kol HaTorah Kula, he knew everything by heart. Unbelievable. So Rav Hirschsprung commented to my father one time. My father was very involved in like chesed and tzedakah stuff. He like ran all the federations in America for a while. So he once commented to my father, he said, you know what, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asad Lavel tells me that I didn't learn enough Torah and I'm not going to get into Gan Eden, I would believe him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I'm not going to get into Gan Eden because I didn't do enough chesed, that can't be true. Meaning that, I'll tell you this story, my cousin was the president of Beis Yankov in Montreal. It's now called the Beis Yankov of Rav Hirschsprung in Montreal. It's named after him. So there were times that the school couldn't make payroll. Rav Hirschsprung himself went around all night knocking on doors to get to wake people up, to get them to give donations in order to have enough money to make payroll in the Beis Yankov. That's he was a Jew who knew chesed like nothing else. And this Gemara is saying, again, the way the Netziv understands this Gemara, that if you do chesed, that will precede you into Olam Haba. You'll get into Olam Haba, but the chesed will be there before you. However, kala over aveira achas b'olam hazeh. If a person does a single aveira in Olam Hazeh, and again, the word aveira, stamazoi means like arayas, so that aveira is milafa faso v'holechas l'fonov l'yayim adem. What does milafa faso mean?
Interrogate?
What?
Interrogate?
Interni?
No, like it's gonna like, in
v'yayim
adem, he's gonna like work
against you. It will work against you, but l'afaif means more. It means, I think, it embraces you. The aveira that you'll do will embrace you to the Yom Hadin, and we prove from the pasuk in Iyov, Yiloftu Archos Dakam Yalu Bator V'Yovedu, and it will be attached to you like a kelev. Dogs have a way of attaching themselves to the owners. Shenemav Lo Shomei Leha Lishkav Etzla Lios Ima Lishkav Etzla Baylam Hazel Lios Ima Lo Lam Haba. So the mitzvah goes in front of you to Olam Haba. The Aveira attaches itself to you as you go to Gehenna. Why is it that the mitzvah goes in front of you, but the Aveira has to attach you, itself to you? I'm sorry, Esty, my hearing wasn't good, so I didn't hear what you were saying before. Why is it? Anyone? So Maharsha has a comment. Tell me, Chevra, do you want to go to Olam Haba, to the good place? Yeah, you do. So you're going to go there anyway. Right? You want to go, you're going to go. So the mitzvah goes in front of you. The mitzvah decides to take a trip and he'll be there. She'll be there waiting for you, whatever it is. But you don't want to go to Gehenna. So the Aveira basically has to hug you and embrace you and schlep you into Gehenna. Because you're going to be like fighting the whole way. I don't want to go. You know the kids? I mean, I deal with this like almost every day with my kids going to school. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Thank God for Dunkin' Donuts. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But the kids are like, I don't want to go. Hey, so you need something to attach to them to bring it there. So here also, you don't want to go to Olam. You don't want to go to Gehenna. So therefore, the Aveira attaches itself to you and like will schlep you into Gehenna. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. And the Aveira, it sounds like, will mark you in Gehenna. That Aveira will be attached to you. It's almost like there's a further bezayon that when you're in Gehenna, like people are going to see the Aveira like the scarlet letter. That it's on you. Right? And everyone will know what it is that you did. That's the basic idea of this Gemara. Okay, good. Atara said she's happy that we're done with Agadita. Let's move on. Unless anyone has any horrors. Did we miss anything to say? Anything that we should explore further in this Gemara? We're good? Okay, excellent. Weiter. So then the Gemara brings up a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph. How many Edim are necessary for Stira? Two. Two Edim are necessary for Stira. How many Edim are necessary for Tuma? One. Eid Echad is known by Tuma. So the Gemara basically says, Shahoya Bedin. That means we should have made a Kal V'Chaimer calculation. Ma edos harishona she'enos rasa isa olam eina miskayas pachos mi shnayim. If the edos harishona, what does edos harishona mean over here?
Stira.
If the stira, that doesn't make you permanently usher. Because after stira, you have a way out called the shtia of the mayim hamorim. So if the stira, which doesn't make you permanently usher, requires two edim. So edus hachrona shayis rasa isa olam enodin shlotis gaim b'pachas mishnayim. So the edei tuma that makes you permanently asura should certainly require two, because it's more etched in stone. Stira is not etched in stone, but edei tuma is etched in stone. Talmud lomar ve'ed ein ba kol sheyesh ba. The pasuk says, "Eid ein ba," meaning that you do not have that any amount of eidos is enough to create an iser tuma. Eid ein ba, any amount of eidos. So then the Gemara decides to turn the tables. I kav chaimer la eidos harishona me'ata uma eidos ha'achmanu shasas es olam miskayas be'ed echad. Who wants to explain this to me? Because I'm losing my voice. Elishava?
I just asked that if the Eidei Tuma, like what Tuma makes you like a person permanently usher, that only requires one Eid. Then for Stira, which doesn't make a person permanently usher, then that should also only require one.
Right, if one Eid is enough for the more serious thing, Alachas kama v'kama tova mechupelas l'makom aleinu, it should be that one aid will suffice by the less serious thing. Talmud lomar, ki matzah ba erbas dover, ulahalon hu omer, api shnayim eidim, o api shlosha eidim, yakum dover, ma dover amur lahalon api shnayim eidim, afkan api shnayim Apkan api shnayim. There's a lack of parallelism in the sentence. Okay, but basically, what's the Gemara saying? Don't say that one aid would suffice by aid a stira, because we have this thing that we call in Judaism the limud of davar, davar, mi, mamon. Davar, davar, mi, mamon means, just like by mamonis, it says, al pishnayim edim, so also the same word davar that appears by arayis tells me that you need two edim. It's got to be two. Davar, davar, mi, mamon. That's what the Gemara says. It says, ki matzo ba ervas, davar. And it says, api shnayim edim, yakum, davar. Just like davar has to be two edim, right? So you need two edim by davar sheba erva. This is the source of ein davar sheba erva parchos mishnayim. The Gemara, if anyone asks you, where do you know that from? Saita gimel mebeis, ervas davar, and it says, shnayim edim yokum davar, davar davar mi mamon, teaches me that ein davar shebe erva, pavos mi shnayim that you need to edim. Temi, you had a hand up?
Can I ask a silly question? But can you get rid of a kal v'chomer by just using a hekesh?
So this is not a hekesh.
So,
what is this?
Gezeirah
Shavah. So Gezeirah Shavah basically is the Ein Adam Dun Gezeirah Shavah Me'atmo Elam Kain Kiblo Me'rabosav. Gezeirah Shavah, the assumption is that it's some sort of halacha l'maisha misinai. Gezeirah Shavah trumps, pardon the expression, all. Gezeirah Shavah, mamish is like the most powerful limud. So I would have thought, like, the Gemara basically is trying to figure out, is one aid enough or do you need two aidim? Zuck the Gemara, by aidei stira, it's a davashem. But erva, you need two aidim. And lulei the gezeiras hakosuv, if not for the pasuk of aid, ein ba, I would think that even aid tuma requires two aidim. Kamash one of the pasuk, the aid tuma, one aid suffices. Temi, did I answer your question?
You're saying that gezeiras override parts.
Yes.
Usually, like, you have
Kal v'chomer,
and it actually explains, no, you're looking at the wrong
spectrum of it. Right. So Kal v'chomer is something that I operate with my own logic. That's what Kal v'chomer basically is. Once I'm in Gezeirah Shavah land,
yeah. So...
was that a hand up? Yeah.
I don't understand how to discuss Mamon. What's Dover Dover Mamon? Like, I remember when I came up on, like, on
Daphbet
also.
In Gitin. Daphbet
here, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't, like, really understand, like... because you hear our davar davar, so these two pieces, one has to do with gitzin, right? Another one has to do with apishnayim yakum davar. That's eight. That's with mamam.
It's a right. No, it's apishnayim edim ushloshad edim yakum davar. Is about mamam. That's a pasuk in parasha shoftim.
So because we have a davar, so then what's davar davar mi mamam?
It says ervat davar.
And then we also have a.
And we also have the same word davar by mamon. And just like by mamon, the Torah says you need two edim, at least, two or three. So also by arayis, you need two edim.
Okay. So it's not that there's a double davar with mamon, it's davar connected to
we
the
We learn
davar,
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 right? In other words, gezeirah shavas operate that I find the same word in two places. And because the same word is in two places, that somehow equates the halachos. Oh. So frek the Gemara. Hi. Miki matza ba ervas davar nafka. Mi ba nafka. Ba velo bikinui. Ba velo bistira mi bayale. What's the Gemara's kasha? Throwback to daf base. Frek the Gemara. Don't tell me that you need two aidin by stira. Because we learned davar, davar from mamon. No! The aid ain't ba. That word ba tells me lima eight. In the case of tuma, eid echot suffices. But by other cases, ba velo bikinui, ba velo bistira. Right? By other cases, you need two aidim. So why do you need davar, davar mi mamon, says the Gemara? Just learn from ba, right? You don't have to invoke. It's like mimer chak tovi lachmo. Why do you have to bring something from a distant location. Right here in the same pasuk, the aid, which tells me one aid is sufficient, in ba. Ba, the low, be, etc.
Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't it be you don't need ba because you have the bar the
as in if Xer Shava is the highest
level. So you're asking, based on what I told Tammy 2 minutes ago, that Xer Shava is like the most powerful limud.
And really, we should have on Daf Bet when we brought up the ba.
So I didn't assign this to you. So the Tosfos HaRosh basically writes that the Gemara is not really asking a kasha over here. And the Gemara is just like doing plug-ins. In other words, we already know the answer before we begin. But the Gemara is asking, in other words, the question is really in the opposite direction. Why do we need ba velo bekinoi, ba velo bestira? Why do you need that if you have dover dover mimamon? That's the Gemara's question. It's very hard for me to remember to turn off my ringer before Shiar. Then I get reminded. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers 5 lines on the bottom. Hachanami ka'amar. Tamil lomar bablo bikinu bablo bistira. Vituma ba'alma b'lo kinu b'lo stira d'lo mehem an aid echad min nolan. That the Gemara answers is from Davar Davar Mimamon. In other words, Davar Davar Mimamon, the Gemara basically says, is not talking about the Sota context, it's talking about Tuma Ba'alma. We're not talking about when there is a Kinoy and a Stira, but whenever you want to say that the wife had an affair, and consequently she has to get divorced from her husband, and consequently losing a ksuba and perhaps being put to death, etc., those dinim require two edim. That's derived from davar, davar mimamon. Davar, davar mimamon is not talking about within the specific sota, as in kinui and stira process, rather talking about tuma ba'alma. This is the Gemara. Good? So I need the pasuk
of
so I need the aid ein ba to tell me that in the sota context, aid echad does not work by stira. I would have thought that if it works by tuma, it should also work by stira. Answer is ba, and the limud of davar davar mimamon teaches me that in a non sota context, without kinoi, etc. So you need two edim to prove halachically that there was an affair. That's the general rule of ein davar shebe'erva, pachos mishnayim. This is the Gemara. Deep breath. Now, there is a Tosfos. Tosfos Dibur Maskil Talmud Lomar invokes a Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Samach Vav. The Gemara on Daf Samach Vav in Kedushin has a machlokas Abaye and Rava about Ishto Zinsa Be'ed Echad Vishosek Mahu. Let's say one aid comes and tells Yikim Getzel. They say, Yikim Getzel, your wife had an affair. A single aid comes, Ishtoi Zinsa Be'ed Echad, and Yikim Getzel is Shosek, he's quiet. So the question is she Asura to him or not? And like 97% of Judaism, it's a Machlokas. Abaye says that Neman. Rava says, Eino Neman, because it's Dover Sheba Erva, Ve'ein Dover Sheba Erva Pachos Mishnayim. Abaye says, one aid with a shtika is enough.
Shtika?
What?
Who's being quiet?
The husband.
What do you mean the husband being quiet?
A guy walks over to the husband and says, Yikim Getzel, I got bad news for you. Your wife had an affair. Yikim Getzel doesn't contradict. Yikim Getzel is just quiet. That's Ishto Zimsa Be'ein Echad Vishosei. So Abaye says is Usser. Abaye says she's forbidden on her husband. Rava says that she is still Muteres because it's Dabar Sheba Erva that requires two Eidim. Machloikus Abaye and Rava, where the two Eidim are required, or do I say Eid Echad with a Shtika is enough to be Usser? And the Gemara has like an interesting proof back and forth. There's some episode with Yanai HaMelach, right? If you read Daf Samach Vavin Kedushin, you'll notice that unlike almost every Gemara in Shas, which is written in some combination of Aramaic and Hebrew, and you almost never have a Gemara that's written in Biblical Hebrew in Shas. This is a point that Dr. Elman once made, like when I was taking one of his classes. Kedushin Daf Samach Vav is written in Biblical Hebrew. No, it's like here. Let me just read you a little bit. Hayasham ishachad leiv leitz ra ubliyaal el ozer ben poira shemo vayomer el ozer ben poira li yanei hamelach liban shal prushim alecha ma esel hakema him betzit shebein necha. Hekman betzit shebein enav haya sham zakein echad Yehuda ben Gedidya shemo vayomer Yehuda ben Gedidya li yanei hamelach. Right, that doesn't sound like Gemara Lashon, no? That sounds Biblical Hebrew. Vayomer so-and-so is so-and-so. Vayomer hineni, right? Or something like that. Right? It's a very funny Gemara. Again, for the linguists among us. That's like one of the rayas that the Gemara has. It has a raya that maybe there was a case of Eid Echad to say that Yanei HaMelech's mother was captured, Bimodian, and maybe he's not eligible to be a king, etc. That's going on in the Gemara. All beautiful. But Bekitra Ma'aseh, Abaye says that Eid Echad with a shtika is Aser. Rava says, no, Eid Echad with shtika is not Aser, you need two Eidim. Ein Davar Sheba'er V'Pachos Mishnayim. I forget, do you go by Sarah or Sarah? I've been calling you Ms. Engel for a while just to avoid this suffix.
Sarah.
Sarah, okay,
yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's important to be Poshet Sveikos.
No, I don't understand why there's even a homonym of the Shtuk would be okay. Because how's that, like, even like Arab line was ever anything
until I. Okay. So, first of all,
quiet,
we don't need Arab line with Dover over here because we're not dealing in a regular Sota case. But how would Eid Echad with a Shtika be okay?
Like the husband's quiet?
The husband is quiet. Someone, one Eid walks over to the husband and says, Yikim Getzel, your wife had an affair, and Yikim Getzel is quiet. So Abaye says you're Usser. Abaye says they have to get divorced.
Does that assume that the husband knew about it or didn't know about it? Like, what is this?
The husband finds out about it because of the Eid.
And he doesn't contradict because he doesn't.
He doesn't contradict. Again, the Gemara discusses in a couple of lines here on the Samach Vav and Kedushin that maybe the husband thinks that this is like a reliable person, no? Ramesha Feinstein walks over to somebody and says, by the way, I got bad news for you, like, he's not going to lie. Yeah?
You're just doing something in your class of mine it's so great, about, like, Rechilas and can you tell somebody something about another person and how if it's one person that... the other person would believe that that's enough to give their
chilas
over to the rabbi.
Okay. So that's very similar to this Gemara. The Gemara says, sometimes you have a person who you believe, right? Okay. But the point is, in this case, it's Eid Echad with a Shtika. Abaye says it's Aser. There are two possibilities. How can it be Aser? Possibility number one is that this is based on the kayach of the Eid somehow. That Abaye says that the Eid itself is able to create an Isser. When the Eid is contradicted, the Eid can't create an Isser. When the Eid is not contradicted, the Eid does create an Isser.
How could the Eid make an Isser for someone else?
It's not really Shab Yanav Shechati Chadisura, but because the Eid statement, I mean, Sarah used the term before, Raglayim L'Dovar, Reglan Dov in broad sense means that we have reason to suspect that it happened. The fact that you trust this guy, he said there's an affair, so therefore the aid is Neman and she's Asura. End of conversation.
You're assuming that there already is a reason to assume that they maybe had an affair.
The reason to assume they had an affair is the fact that you are quiet. If you wouldn't believe it, you would say, you are nuts. What are you doing? The fact that you are quiet shows that you believe it.
And the fact that the husband believes it is enough to make her Asura?
Yes. That's one approach. No, but it's really based on the kayach of the aid. Approach number two is based on a halachic principle of shtika kavodah. If you're quiet, you're admitting. In other words, approach two is basically saying that the iser is because of the husband, not because of the aid. Approach one is saying the iser is because of the aid.
And then it's almost like the husband becomes the second aid?
In approach one or approach two?
Two.
In approach two, I don't know if that the husband becomes the second aid, but the husband creates the iser. The aid said something. The husband says, it's true. Shtika kavodah. It's as if the husband says it's true. Once the husband says, she had an affair, she's asura. Okay, right? You can get so you believe your wife had an affair, divorce her. End of conversation. And that's what's going on in the Gemara, according to approach two. Now, Tosis by us raises a problem. We'll get back to approach one and two in a minute, or 2 minutes, whatever. Tosis by us has a question. Our Gemara learns davar mimamon, that you need to aid them to say that the wife is asura on the husband. Frek Tosfos, but according to Abaye, it's not true. Because according to Abaye, aid echad with a shtika is enough to be asura on the husband. So Tosfos's kasha is, why do you need davar mimamon to say that you need two eidim? If you're an Abaye Jew, one eid suffices. That's Tosfos's kasha. It's a strong kasha, no? Again, la halacha, it's not a question. Because in Judaism, when there's a dispute between Abaye and Rava, six cases, only six. It's actually not only six. There's more than six. But the Gaonim had a tradition that there are six cases, no? Yal Kagam is not Talmudic. Yal Kagam, okay, question, this is just for my own information. When boys start learning Gemara, like in sixth grade or fifth grade, everyone starts on Perek Elul Metzius. When women start learning Gemara, what do you start with? But yeah.
So that's
you start in Bava Metzia also? You start with the Sugya of Yeyo Shalomitas and the Bayan Rava? Now that's like the traditional approach place to start. My understanding is that when women start learning Gemara, I might be totally off base. They start like from Brachos or somewhere else. Right, it's starting the Kohen school, so you're starting to say. But I think in Kohen schools, they don't follow the traditional approach of starting from Bava Metzia.
I don't know.
But in SAR?
Bava Kama.
Wow. I was salvaging felt that Bava Kama is like the hardest Masech in Shas. You know that? Okay, whatever, not for now. But the basic point is, Tosfos asks Akasha, according to Abaye, why do you need Davar? According to this drush of Davar Davar Mam tells me you need two, but according to Abaye, one is enough. That's Tosfos's kasha. So Tosfos answers, Davar Davar Mam is necessary for Abaye only in the case where the guy contradicts the aid. Meaning, the Gemara says, Davar Davar Mam, according to Abaye, one aid is enough to be usher. So Tosfos answers, yeah, you need two when there is a contradiction.
me my beautiful handwriting. Two, when there is a contradiction. So davar davar mimamon, right, is only talking about in the case when you say it's not true. But there's no contradiction for Abaye, so then you don't need to aid him. Ad kan divrei hatosfos. Eli Sheva.
If like the whole davar davar thing comes from mamon, then in giving mamon, like just because if there's only, it doesn't work if there's one eid shita, does it?
So here's the thing, and other Rishonim bring that up. There are cases by dinei mamonos where one eid has some effect, like to be mechayev a shavua and the like. One eid comes and says you owe money to so and so, so you have to swear. So what do you mean, davar davar mi mamon? That, like, one eight is...
And this one, like, it should be here, but also it's, like, interesting that the Abaye is assuming that the davar davar is, like, so narrow. That would only...
Correct. It's only in a case when there is a contradiction.
Right.
When you say that the 1-8 is not telling the truth, then you need two. If not, 1-8 is enough. That, again, I'm not making this up, ladies. As I state in Tesis, no? You only need the pasuk when there's hachasha. Comes along the Keren Ora. We already spoke about who the Keren Ora was. And the Keren Ora says, one second. The case here in the Gemara Bava Metzi, the case here in the Gemara Kedusha, of Eidach with a shtika means one aid comes and says, Yikim Getzo, your wife had an affair. And Yikim Getzo is quiet. So in that case, she's Asura according to Abaye. But in our Gemara, that's not what's going on. In our Gemara, what's happening? The guy says, you know what, your wife had an affair. And the wife is saying, no, I didn't. She says, no, I didn't. In that case, the shtika of the husband doesn't do anything, says the Keren Ora. The Keren Ora is being mechadesh, that the shtika only creates an iser for Abaye when there is zero contradiction. But in a situation where the wife is contradicting the husband, when the wife is contradicting the aid, the aide said she had an affair, and she jumps up and down and spits wooden nickels and does jumping jacks, and she says, no, I didn't. So in that situation, the shtick of the husband does not create an iser. That's what the Keren Ora is suggesting. Now, which of these two approaches is the Keren Ora working with? One or two?
I think one.
You think one? Tifar Shi?
Because if it's all about the aid, then and it, like, it only works if there's one aid that's not contradicted. Then if it's contradicted, by anyone,
such as
two, then it shouldn't be like.
Does the kayak of the aid you're suggesting is only when it's a pure aid? Whenever there's any contradiction, the aid has no kayak. Does anyone want to take the other side?
Sarah? I don't know if this is fully formed, but I, like, the Shiga Kahuda here, it seems like Shiga Kahuda, but for the wife. So maybe you could, like, learn the back into, like, Abaye, that it's not just that the husband. Silent,
it's like the wife. So, shtika kodah means, again, we're talking about shtika kodah from the perspective of the husband. But I think what we could say, this is different than what Eli Sheva was saying, so you have to forgive me for this. But I think what we could say is that shtika kodah means, you know what? If the husband faces some evidence and the husband doesn't say anything, so, of course, the husband's agreeing. But let's say there's no evidence that's presented. Because let's say the aide says something, but there's some contradiction to what the aide said. The wife said it didn't happen. So the fact that the husband is quiet doesn't prove anything. Because he's quiet, because my wife said it never happened. Why do I have to protest? I'm more inclined the second way. You see, according to the first way, that's the kayach of the aid, I would say the fact that the wife contradicts and says, no, it didn't happen, of course you say, no, it didn't happen. That's not worth anything. The aid has koach. She doesn't have koach. But if it's based on the shtikah kohol da'ah, so perhaps that's why when the wife contradicts, so I don't say shtikah kohol da'ah. Perhaps that's the basic idea. Again, in Yirtzeh Hashem Wednesday night, we'll have to pick up from here. Rav Schechter has a nice essay where he tries to tie together this sugya in Kedushin Daf Samach Vav, this Tosfos, with broad principles about what Davar Sheba'erva means. This entire essay of Rav Schechter is part of a larger essay about the halach of Sota Labayla. Why is Sota is Aser, which is sort of relevant for the part of Judaism that we're studying this year, called Sota. So, Be'ezras Hashem on Wednesday night, I'd like to do that. And also, Gemara, Rashi, all of Dalet Amud Aleph. It's a relatively easy Amud of Gemara. It's the Shiur, how much is necessary for a stira, for yichud, how much time is necessary. You'll read through the Gemara, you'll say, tree, how big, egg, fried, how long, like these types of things, and you're like, what's going on here? Read the Gemara, you'll have fun. Torah is fun in general, but Da'alam and Alf will be especially fun. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening.